This is a conspiracy. That's what this is.
One big damn conspiracy! And everyone's in on it!
I know what's going on.
Did IQs just drop sharply while I was away?
The person is smart. People are dumb, panicky, dangerous animals, and you know it.
Did you see the memo about this?
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
Don't you see what this means? This is it! This is the beginning of everything! I've been waiting for this all my life!
Welcome back, everyone. Here we are for a very Aussie edition of WTAF. You may be familiar with the What the Fuck forum, but, you know, since I first met the wonderful Lee and Stella on that forum, it seemed only fair that we should come together for a very Australian edition of What the Actual Fuck Australia, because a lot's been happening in the last week in our country that is quite disheartening, and I need a little bit of vent with some fellow Aussies. So let us welcome Lee and Stella. Welcome, everybody.
Hey, good to see you guys. I'm all ears.
G'day, mate. Good to be with you. You too, Stella. Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. Don't ask me how old.
21 today, clearly. Got to be 21.
I'm 193 and I look fantastic for my age.
Oh, you're a MILF in our eyes, mate. Don't worry about it.
Thanks, man.
All right, so the elephant in the room, I guess, is that the digital ID passed the upper house and is all but confirmed to be a law within our country. Whatever way that's going to manifest and be implemented is yet to be told, but essentially it's done and dusted, and it kind of just got through without people paying attention.
Well, I'm not too surprised, because I have to say I've been searching around quite a bit today, and you've got to go fairly deep to actually get a bit of information about this at the moment. I was very surprised. It's all about the budget. But very little about this that is current. I've only in the last sort of couple of hours I came across things that were actually like May 15 or May 13, 2024. The rest is all, you know, 2023 or January 24. Not a whole lot there. So I'm not surprised that it's not in the, you know, the big lens in front of people.
No, and they had some good design. Yes, and they had some good distractions going on with the past week that a lot of the freedom movement groups were kind of focused on, which was the whole Julia Inman Grant and the eSafety Commissioner herself going up against Twitter and losing in the court case. So everyone was celebrating this awesome win for democracy and free speech, but really we lost a huge battle when we won a small little battleground in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah. It's disheartening, guys. That's really what it is. Especially when you start hearing that it's gained things like bipartisan support from both of the major parties. You're like, well, come on, really? Why? We're supposed to have these checks and balances. You know, you're not supposed to support the shit that they're doing. You're supposed to go against it. And here they go, you know, falling on into it and supporting both of it. And it just goes to show that they are beholden to no one, really. They do what they want, or they're probably beholden mainly to other powers that shouldn't be, that are above them, telling them what to do and how to vote, and, you know, where what to push through, what to table, what to change, all that sort of stuff. But yeah, when things get through so quickly and easily without much discourse, it's not good. It's not good for us.
No, not at all. Go, Stella.
I was just going to say, it's just so boring for people. I was trying to sort of talk to a couple of people about it today and just touched on the subject, and it was like, just, yeah, it straight over the head, or just yawn. I was like, yeah, I know it's boring, but it's really important, you know. Yeah.
And I was chatting to one of my clients today, and they're like, she's fairly old lady, and she's like, yeah, I had to, you know, I got up and I got home in time to watch the budget and all, you know. I'm like, really, is that all you're aware of? This just had to be the budget. It's all about the budget, eh? Yeah, okay, good on your love. missing the main things, but It's
It's all
amazing.
about
There's no hope, you know, when you got
the.
people, the majority of everyone who has no freaking idea what's actually going on behind the scenes and what's been taken away from us. Because you got to remember, like, of all the laws, all the things all the bills that are getting tabled for discussions and so forth, I don't think I can even recall one that's really been for our benefit of over the last maybe decade or so, that's really been for the people to give you rights and all that sort of stuff, except maybe for the passing of the in Queensland's Human Rights Bill. That was probably the only one that I think is a Human Rights Act, I should say, sorry, the only one that's actually got any weight whatsoever, which kind of helped a few people up here during the COVID pandemic business. But nothing else seems to be for us. It's all about stripping away our rights and freedoms and curtailing us just that little bit more, a little bit more control measure here and there, a little bit more control measure here. You know, that's all it comes down to, really. It's not about here, you know what, we're gonna pass a law that's gonna say we're gonna lock in your freedoms for the next generation, the next two generations, next 50 years. You know, we can't take this off you or something. No, it's all about how much can we take off you and how little can we tell you about it. That's what it comes down
Yeah.
to.
This is the frustration that for me that I've seen. We've known about the digital ID, the disinformation, misinformation bill for a while now. And a lot of our freedom groups, which kind of rallied around The Voice and COVID, they came out and, you know, to the best of their benefit, they thought they were fighting back by signing petitions and ringing their local members of parliament and telling them that they're against it, which is great in theory if the political system works.
Yeah.
But I think the majority of us know that it's predominantly theatre, and the fact that it doesn't work. What's to stop a government who's decided that they make up the decisions for our best interests anyway? What, they get a petition that says maybe 500,000 Australians say no to it out of a population of 26 to 27 million? Are they really going to pay attention to that? The decision's already made if they're tabling this type of stuff. It's not like they're going to turn around based off a few emails, a few phone calls,
No,
and a
fuck
few
no.
petitions and change their mind.
No
And
chance.
as usual, it's under the guise of protecting us because, you know, we can't think for ourselves. And also, you know, under the guise of, like, I was just reading the Australian Christian ACL, Australian Christian
Lobby.
Lobby. That's it. Yep. And, you know, I don't disagree with what they're saying because I totally agree with children. They definitely have far too easy access to, excuse me, pornography and stuff like that. But you know, they're calling for tighter, you know, as we'd expect, tighter regulations and all that sort of thing. And well, maybe that's not the issue because at the same time, you've sort of got people like Yumi Steins, sorry, if you know who she is. She was used to be a Well, she's a has-been now. They're just useless puppet. But she used to be a morning show host, and she was really lovely, actually. And now she's just turned into this. Ugh. She's written this book about, like, you know, sex education, I suppose you'd put it under. But it's just gross. I know you know the book, Drew. So, like, you know, it's double standards. It's like, well, we've got to protect the hell out of you online, but we can let all this stuff go. You know,
Yeah,
it's
it's
just
worse when they
outrageous.
say we have to protect children from being exposed from this disgusting content, but at the same time mandating the same content in government school curriculums. How does
Yeah,
that work in any kind
exactly.
of logical sense? But they've got the
Hypocrisy.
answer. They've got the answer. Children need some kind of a digital ID to access the internet. That will
Yeah.
stop it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the problem reaction solution, once again, coming into play.
Yep.
Hegelian dialectic, that's always in play. It's how they get things through. We all know that. I mean, they're
Always
doing.
hiding behind children and animals and old people too. It's so pathetic.
I
The
mean, you got to
appeal to
remember, like,
empathy.
the US,
Yeah.
they had a digital identity bill which passed through to their Senate, and that was back in 2023 as well too. So they're almost on the verge of having that. Like, actually, I'm not even sure if it actually did actually get passed at all. Like, I have to double check that one. But and that was, you know, like I said, that was back in like 12 months ago, April, over 12 months ago, now, April last year, that went into the Senate over there. So we're just, of course, copying what the States is doing. It's all part and parcel of the narrative, really. It's all about, like I said, it's just this tiptoe.
Lockstep,
Yeah,
lockstep.
the lockstep. Exactly. That's what it is. But we're just tiptoeing towards all the little chess pieces are getting moved into place. And before we know it, we're going to wake up one morning and, you know, you got to sign on with your digital ID in order to, you know, chat to Stella on Telegram, and you know what I mean? Like, it's ridiculous. It's so it's unbelievable. I mean, I don't know if VPNs are going to get us around this at all. I haven't looked into that. No, you don't think so?
No way. No.
No, they'll probably put a target on your back more than anything else. The American Restrict Act, which is at a part of what you just mentioned, Lee, they specifically mentioned that if Americans are using VPNs to skirt this type of legislation over there, that makes them liable for prison time. So I dare say we'd see something similar here.
And they've got the powers to probably check on that shit too.
Yeah, well, they can, it doesn't matter anyway. VPNs aren't as secure as people think they are. They can get
Well,
around all this stuff.
it's just rerouting internet traffic is what it's doing. It's just telling your server, your host server, that you're coming in from another country. That's all it's doing. It's not really
Yeah.
protecting you. It's just hiding your location
Your
to a
IP
degree.
address. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. So yeah, that went through to America, what, last year. Same thing he happened here because it was first introduced to the public in June last year. And I mean, they had 2,265 public submissions, so there's a little bit of hope. How many of us are there? 28 million or something? 2,265 public. Yeah. Anyway, there's some hope.
It's the forward projecting. It's like that incrementalism, like we've said, the tiptoe to tyranny. But it's almost like a Venn diagram is slowly moving towards, and it's going to form a technocracy because you've got the digital ID on one side, you've got disinformation, misinformation, which essentially gives the government, anyone in power, the ability to wield what the truth is. Those coalesce into one point where anything you say on the internet, if it goes against the established facts, air quote, of the government, they can pinpoint who you are through your digital ID, have a knock on the door from the local police. You're in all kinds of trouble. I have a third one that comes in. This could be God knows what else. It could be like we've seen 18C in Victoria around hate speech. It could be that combined with maybe anti-Semitism laws that I can see coming very quickly into this country. Like Victoria's got some pretty harsh ones. What happens at a national level because the Palestine Gaza conflict is being so pumped into the media and we're seeing all these things on university campuses. This is also another problem reaction solution, Hegelian dialectic. They're making it look like it's a big, massive issue so that they can put in place these laws that are for the protections of people that ultimately will take the rights away from everyone else.
100%. And they're using, yeah, that's what they do. In fact, I was looking up a term that I came across a few times today, or have to in the past. Anyway, it's called hybrid warfare, right? So it's basically, I mean, what does this sound like to you? Hybrid warfare is a theory of military strategy, which employs political warfare and blends conventional warfare, irregular warfare, and cyber warfare with other influencing methods such as fake news, diplomacy, lawfare, regime change, and foreign electoral intervention. By combining kinetic operations with subversive efforts, the aggressor intends to avoid attribution and retribution. So it's like they put the bait out, they throw the burly out to the crowd, like the uni students, for instance, get them to, fight the wars or the, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, whatever. They're all fighting the wars. And the people who are making it happen, they're just in the background, just not getting away with it all. We're watching it happen now, like with COVID, people are getting away with stuff. And it's like another word for this is gaslighting. That's all it is, gaslighting, propaganda. I mean,
Well, you.
it's a psychological warfare. This.
I was going to say you hit the nail on the head because George Soros, his foundation, is actively funding a lot of the pro-Palestine protesters in the United States. And what's being spoken about over there now is a reaction that anyone that engages in anti-Semitism towards Israel in those types of protests, those people should be shipped over to the conflict. That sounds just like a stepping stone into national conscription again. It's like putting the mechanisms in play to send off government dissidents or people go against the narrative and send them off to foreign lands to die. It's almost like the USSR's approach to pulling out people from the gulags and sending them to the front lines.
That's scary as hell.
Drew, can I ask, have you talked much recently about like the digital ID in terms of why they're bringing it in and all that sort of stuff? Have you broken it down for the listeners to sort of, I know we always talk about the digital ID and how bad it is and what it could mean for the future of everyone here and stuff. But I was wondering if you'd broken that down about
I haven't as yet. I've been pretty focused on the disinformation, misinformation bill, thinking that's a larger thing to tackle. But like hindsight's an absolute bastard that looking at it, it's all the pieces that come together. And I think digital ID is just as important. And
Oh, it is for sure.
for me, I definitely didn't give it as enough attention as I thought it would, because I honestly didn't think it would go through so quickly out of the
No.
blue.
And what annoys me more really is the fact that, I mean, they've tried this in the past. Do you remember the, I don't know if you're old enough to remember the Australia card when they tried to push this through?
Yeah.
Delaware's that one, yeah.
Heard of it.
Yeah. So that was there. That was the version of a national ID back then. You know what I mean? And it got quashed. Like, it was like, what are you doing? Like, this is stupid. Like, we don't want this. No one wanted it. And it got, gone, shelved. No one, never to be seen again. Until now, of course, the digital age comes, and now it's all about, we need more security and stuff. So, I mean, just for the listeners, for yours, and for everyone who listens to this podcast and stuff. So, I'll just read a little bit here. So, obviously, is it Gallagher? Katie Gallagher is the one that's sort of behind it. Yeah. So verifying your
That
identity is
witch.
something we all have. Yeah, that which is all something we all have to do fairly regularly, but it soon could look very different under a new voluntary national digital ID.
Like mandates.
Course, it
So
all.
voluntary.
Yeah. So that's how it starts. It's here. You don't have to use it until we tell you have to use it.
Or you don't have to, use it unless you want to be able to pay your phone bill, your mortgage, your taxes,
Well, it's going
use
to be.
Medicare.
It'll be basically the companies around that we all use. Like, if you want to go and get a new phone plan or something, you've got to go in, produce your ID and all that sort of stuff. And you're giving them a bill, you give them your driver's license or a passport. You know what I mean? So you give them the points worth of identification, right? That's how it's always been, to verify who you are. So you've got multiple things that say your name and stuff, and here it is. So they want to get rid of that altogether. There's no points of ID and stuff. It's just one form, it's a digital ID, and if you've got it, that's all anyone will need, right? That's what they're sort of saying. So big companies are going to be like, they'll start changing their terms of service and conditions, because that's what they don't want to deal with all these points, and you got to have this, got to provide that. For them, it's just easier, do a digital ID scan or whatever, and bang, there it is, you're in. You know what I mean? Like, it's all
Oh, it's
verified.
convenient. It's so
It's
convenient.
that's
That's that
right.
C word
They'll
again.
sell you on the convenience, correct? So that's what it's their end of it is all about, right? So again, a digital ID, national digital ID, if implemented properly, will clamp down on all the risks of things like hackers getting into. This is what they say, right? All these big companies that get exposed in the breaches and stuff. National digital ID would clamp down on those risks. Apparently, I don't know how, but apparently it will. And they're saying that. In short, it's a system that would allow Australians to quickly and easily identify themselves without needing to provide points, like I mentioned before, of
Oh, who am
identity
I again?
through existing documents like passports, licenses, and bills. A digital ID would usually be an application in a phone or a computer store that has mathematical representation of an individual that uniquely identifies them, without the possibility of reverse engineering their personal information. Nothing digital like this is ever secure. It will always be cracked and broken, and someone will steal shit. That's just how
I was just going
always
to comment, is the safety part having it all centralized in one place it can be accessed
works.
from?
That's the thing. How are people not seeing this? Keeping everything so centralized is the worst possible thing. Decentralization is the key to everything. You know what I mean? You can't put all your eggs in one basket. If they're there, they'll get fucking taken. You know what I mean?
It makes me wonder if this is a
Fuck.
part of the plan, though, because for the past 18 months, how many huge news stories have been about data breaches from
Yeah,
Telstra, Optus,
Optus, yeah.
Medicare,
Yep.
all these, Medibank Private, rather, all these big platforms that have your data. So now they're going to put all our data in one spot. Are they waiting to initiate a cyber polygon event so that they can do a, I don't know, now this is me being a tinfoil hat wearer, of course, a great taking scenario where
Now.
everyone's information is wiped and they go, oh, no, you don't have the title to your house. We do. And you've have missed a payment, so we're repossessing your house now.
Yep.
Or
Well,
I
you owe 10
think
bucks.
that's
You owe
I
10
think
bucks on
that's
the
more
mortgage.
worst case scenario, but you're definitely on the right track here, Drew, because I think it's more about once you've got all that information in one spot, everyone's signed on, or most people are signed on, then it's a matter of, like you said, a cyber polygon event happens, or what do you call it, a black swan, or whatever it is, some sort of event happens where it's, and they always say, a lot of people the people who are in the know are saying the next big event, the next false flag, it's not going to be planes into a building and all that sort of shit. It's going to be digital. All right, this is what it's going to be. This is the age we're in. It's going to be a digital event. That will then cause, obviously, major problems. And they'll be going, see, we told you. And they'll probably have this stuff safely secured, right? They'll be like, look, all your data was all saved. It's nice and secure now. Everything else got wiped and stuff. Now you know you can trust us. Here, come and get your digital IDs. Bang, everyone's on digital IDs and social credit systems and all that sort of shit. And it's just married right into it. You know what I mean? I 100% agree with you that an event will follow this within the next decade. It has to. That's just how the chips are falling right now. All right, we can all see it coming, and that's what I think it's actually about, is getting everyone signed up onto this system, whether it's by making you do it or by everyone voluntarily getting on, and then once they're on, they're locked in because there is no alternative. The alternatives are gone. You're on that system, and that's the only system there is. And I think they'll tie it into things like central bank digital currencies as well. That'll be the next big thing that comes in. The RBA has been doing white papers on this for over a decade now, probably maybe 15 years, talking about CBDCs. You can even go on the RBA website and search them up and look at them yourself. So that's what we know. They've gamed it out. They've played it. They've even hired companies, big digital infrastructure companies, to literally game out how the switch would happen. Getting the public, the world, businesses, everyone onto a central bank digital currency, and then tying that in to a digital ID infrastructure, a national digital ID infrastructure. It's all been gamed out already. It's the plan. So all this stuff about, oh, yeah, we worry about who's gonna fight it, who's gonna go against it, stuff. No, it's the plan's in place, folks. It's of course it's
It's
gonna
like
happen.
spitting in the ocean, sort of.
Oh, absolutely. You know what I mean? So I'll just going on with more of this, right? So this is from a Channel 9 article, right? So everyone can see through this, but I just want people to know what they've put out to try and sell it to the public, right? So one way the scheme would work is via an app that is opened using the person's biometrics and sending an ever-changing long mathematical code that identifies one to the other, which is probably like blockchain stuff, I would say. The user and the business government agency. The no personal data would ever need to be transmitted or stored. Excuse me, but didn't you guys just mention a person's the app has to be used with a person's biometrics? Pretty sure you're going to have that stored on file somewhere to cross-check it to open it. So that's a lie straight away. Public Service Minister Katy Gallagher, which we're talking about, who's implementing this, or she's the figurehead putting this through. Yeah, she's just the name we all have to go and do the 2 minutes of hate for, you know what I mean? That's the name. She's just a fucking useful idiot. Of course, these people have no idea. So she said the system will initially be regulated by the ACCC before a government body is specifically focused on digital regulation is introduced. So they'll basically set up a new department to handle all of this. But for the time being, ACCC will be the one in charge. And then it goes on to say, why create a national digital identity? You know, like maybe just refresh your articles from 20 years ago when you fucking tried it, and you'll see. What are the benefits? I didn't talk about. That's the only question. What are the benefits? It's not about what are the downfalls, what are the pitfalls. No, here's the selling points for you. In short, security. That's the first point.
Ah, there it is. Yeah, and that's what I was going to bring up, actually. They always say, "Oh, it's for national
Safety,
security." It's always
security.
national
Yeah,
security, isn't it?
safety,
It's like,
security,
yeah, it's
convenience.
your bloody security, not ours.
Oh, exactly. And it says here, the quote, the current system is plagued by identity theft, fraud, and a lack of control over personal data. Okay, I guess we'll have to trust you on that one. He said current methods of providing identity, in which businesses and other service providers demand too much information, create a honeypot of data for hackers to target. What
I mean, like
the fuck is
their
the
own
digital
honeypot.
ID then? It's the same thing. Like,
It's a
fuck.
marmalade pot. It's slightly different.
You just kind of shake your head at this stuff, eh? Anyway,
That's a double
moving on.
speak.
It is 100% true. It's the double speak, the Orwellian double speak, right there in the article. Currently, when a business requires only proof of age, they ask for much more, such as an address and copying your physical driver's license, he said. This oversharing is an unnecessary privacy breach and dangerous regarding identity fraud and even physical security. Why risk divulging your address to unknown parties who don't need it for their business transaction being undertaken? Conversely, by proving your identity through a digital ID instead of by providing license and passport details, it means organizations wouldn't be storing that information. So if there is a data breach or hack, you wouldn't be at risk of being targeted by it. Yeah, right. Like,
What was
seriously.
that company that got hacked a while ago, a few years ago? Was it Ashley Madison or something like that?
Oh,
Yes,
the dating one.
the affair website for affairs.
Yeah, I mean that was that. I reckon that was a little bit of a test and a little bit of a flex, muscle flex as well. But also, yeah, just there's I've read a couple of articles of government technical people being interviewed, and they just laugh that people think that the government technical stuff is all secure. It's like, no, and it's not. They
No.
just laugh. Remember when the census took place and the whole website crashed?
Yeah.
Back in, I don't
Well,
know, 2012.
it does, even if they had this security and the best IT in the world with firewalls that could stop hacking, and we had a really great counter IT terrorism unit in our country. The problem is it doesn't stop the government from selling off your data anyway. We saw that during COVID in Victoria when we
Yeah.
had our digital ID passes.
Yeah.
Every single person who scanned their phone every time they went in somewhere, within 2 or 3 days, bam, spam phone calls, spam emails, because the government was selling that data off.
Yeah, and then they say, oh, we got hacked. Yeah, sure you did.
No, that they openly said they were selling that data to third parties.
Yeah, right. Did they hack in yen? I don't know. Is it...
I didn't seem to have that problem because I had the fake digital one.
Well, I just didn't scan anyway.
I don't give a fuck
No, I
still.
didn't either. I just, yeah, I just
Yeah, and that
made my
works.
own
Just
coffee.
carry it. Hey, look, beep, there you go. Fucking John Smith just signed in. Good on you. Here we go.
Yeah.
So just there's not too much more to go on this, I
Yeah,
don't
go
think.
for it.
So it's all about securing the information, protecting information, and ensuring that when that information is shared, it's done under a regulated system. Former New South Wales Customer Service and Digital Government Minister Victor Dominello is pushing for the introduction of digital ID in his new role in the Tech Council of Australia board, again citing security benefits. A fit-for-purpose digital ID would give more control to the individual on what information they share and for how long, significantly enhancing privacy and security settings, he said on LinkedIn. Gallagher is hopeful the system will go live midway through 2024. Oh, look at that. Getting close.
Just in time for 2025. Right on
I'll
time.
tell you when this was published too. This was October last year, I believe. So there you go. Gallagher, where's that bit? Potentially mid next year, she said, when pressed for a launch date at the AFR summit. Just for me, it's all the timeline. They've got it set already, folks. This is all part of the
Oh,
plan. In
100%.
many ways, what we're doing is enshrining in legislation a system that's unregulated now. We've got over 10 million people using MyGovID. States and jurisdictions are developing their own systems as well. Interesting. So why develop their own systems for the states and stuff when you're going to have a national one? Seems a bit redundant there, doesn't it? So I think from the everyday person's point of view, we've got the system, it's just not regulated and it's not in shape that will allow us to drive it forward and give the interoperability and the economy-wide benefits that come from having a, and that's unfortunately where it stops off. I'm actually just reading this from an Instagram post from someone I follow because I remember that they posted it. So, but yeah, so there we go. That was I'll just grab a link so you guys can put it in your show notes or whatever.
Yeah, that'd be great. Now, you mentioned quite
Yeah, I'll put it in the
astutely
Zoom chat. Sorry.
earlier that what I went to was a worst case scenario. I really like doing that. I like going to the nuclear option first so that I can dissect it and move backwards to see what the next coming steps are. Most of the time, they're as clear as day anyway, but I like doing that. Now, not everyone's going to share this view, but I am a Christian and I share this view. The fact that this digital ID is going to be linked to biometrics, throw into that a situation where, God forbid, physical cash disappears and we are all in a digital playing field for money. Does a biometric that is attached to your ID that limits your buying and selling of goods and services not at all sound like the mark of the beast?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah,
Absolutely. More
well,
than anything else,
yeah,
even though there's been a few
whether we
candidates,
carry
hasn't
the
there?
mark of the beast in our pocket every day, don't we?
Yeah,
Quite
but that doesn't
possibly.
prevent you from selling or buying just yet. I think that's
Not yet.
the
the
it
kiddie
almost did
pool that's
during
getting
COVID,
us
didn't
ready.
it? It
Yeah,
almost
well.
did. They tried it.
Yep.
Yeah,
Close.
and if you didn't have
Close.
their digital ID, their digital sign-in shit, oh, I'm sorry, can't come in, you know. That was just the testing ground to see how they could pull that shit off, you know.
Yeah, it was the kiddie pool getting us used to
Conditioning.
it.
See
Yep.
which big corporations will get on board. Oh, we've got them. Yeah, they'll push it. No worries. Good, they're on board. Yeah. Yeah, it's
Yeah.
the one.
Can I just get a bit woo-woo for a moment?
Love it. Go
Only
there.
because it's your birthday.
So this disinformation thing, it's sort of been based on an original voluntary disinformation code, which was the original code was apparently the original version was February 22nd, 2021, 2021, and then the version was updated from the original to reflect the improvements by a bunch of people called Digi. I've looked into them a little bit, but I won't get sidetracked. Which was made to the code's governance. That was on October the 11th, 2021. And then the latest version of the Australian Code of Practice of the Disinformation and Misinformation, which was updated on December 22nd, 2022, to reflect the outcome of the code, blah, blah, blah. I know these dates mean something to these people, because there are so many things. I mean, Kennedy. What was he? 22nd of the 11th. The list could go on. I'm sure people who are listening to this don't need to be reminded, but there's definitely some 22s and 11 things. And I just half an hour ago, completely unrelated to this, I had a really interesting conversation with my mum, and it was about the 22nd. It just anyway, I'll keep it short. It was the 22nd was the date, and it was like, oh, there it is again. So I just have no doubt. Again, it's just another facet of it. They make these things come out on certain dates. It's symbolic somehow, or maybe powerful. I don't know. Anyway,
Which
I'll put the tinfoil hat back in the corner now.
that's okay because it doesn't matter if it's completely hogwash and it's not real. They believe it's real. They have
Yeah.
an affinity for these numbers and they think they're getting something out of it. And that's something that people should question, why they seem to have these numbers that pop up all the time.
And general symbols too. And colours as well is another one. Ollie Damagard, I've mentioned him earlier in the
Yeah, he's good
your
at breaking
feed.
that sort of stuff down. Yeah.
Yeah, lots of codes and things. But anyway, I mean it's
Yeah.
just another facet of it. Spiritual, I mean it's spiritual warfare, so there's going to be spiritual elements in it.
Oh, mate, you should go back and look a lot of the old Jordan Maxwell stuff. He was all over that
Oh,
back in like the 90s.
very
It
familiar.
was,
Yeah.
yeah.
Love
Unfortunately,
Jordan.
he passed away, but yeah.
He did.
But here's this, right? So India's national digital ID system may have its critics among those who opposed the digitization of people's identities, but it has received praise from Bill Gates as one of the country's innovations that are changing the world. There's another article there. Bill Gates praises India's sweeping digital ID system as a model for other nations. And look at that. It's just the whole world is pushing forward with this. This is what I mean. You get all the China's already got it. India's basically now got it. America's had it pushing through. We're gonna get it. UK or in the or you know, the EU will get it. Like it's lockstep. You said it
It's a matter
before,
of time.
Stella. It's just
Yeah.
lockstep. Everyone is following the plan. That's the plan. That's the narrative. Follow it to a T.
Well, this is the
It's
thing. Fozzie, a
Spa's document.
previous guest on this show,
I'm in the.
he
Sorry.
brought up the India digital ID, and it's like well over 70% of the population have willingly gone into it and started using it. And that's a country that is poverty stricken by huge amounts in areas. Sure, it has its high number of the wealthy. But the average Indian person has signed up to that for the convenience of it.
Yeah.
And it's the convenience that kills, essentially. Look at like our food industry. People don't grow their food anymore because you can either buy a prepared meal or you can get the ingredients yourself. It's the convenience that slowly kills you. The food industry is completely poisoned when it comes to mass-produced food. It's like nothing else. Well, it's like everything else, rather. The convenience that it offers us has a payment for it. And it's not just what we're paying financially, we're paying for it in other ways.
Oh, absolutely. It's like I was saying this the other day on WTF. when the washing machine came along. You know, it's like then people were complaining about having to, you know, put the clothes on the line or put the clothes into the dryer, or you know, put the dishes into the dishwasher. It's like there's always, oh, it's okay. We'll get a robot to do the dishes into the dishwasher for you. Is that okay? You know, it's like, well, then you can have more time to go and do what? Waste on something else. You know, it's like, it's pretty silly. It's convenience, yeah, convenience kills, and it's always the carrot, always.
And with this the digital ID as well, was back in March. Malcolm Turnbull, no, sorry, Malcolm Roberts from One Nation. He did a what is it? List of He put up a little post saying list of senators who voted for and against having a proper debate on the digital ID. So he's naming and shaming all the people that, he goes, I want to have a debate. I'm going to table this to say we need to have a big debate in the Senate about this, who's for the debate or not. And it was actually split 33 to 33, funnily enough, for the for and
Wow.
against. Yeah, got there's the numbers there for you again
There we
too.
go. And duality.
But basically,
Yep.
because it was a it didn't have a, enough yeses, it didn't happen, so it was still a no, basically. But he basically said, now digital ID will be rammed through the Senate tonight without a word of debate, thanks to Labor Greens and David Van. But yeah, there you go. Just funnily enough, at least like there are some that were, yes, they at least the names on this list were like, yes, let's have a debate about it. And some of them were, don't want it altogether. Of course, Malcolm Roberts, Senator Antich, you got Rennick as well, who just don't want to have that. Don't want it in. They're well aware of what's going on. They know what the people actually want, but there's too, I think Babbitt was on there too, too far and few between. We really don't have a representative government whatsoever. The majority of them, once they're in, I kind of liken these people to, for my local footy club, during presentation day, you know what I mean? We've got the local member will come down and he'll present trophies for the kids and things, and do his little wave and stuff. And he's a nobody, like he's just local council member and stuff. But they get up there and they apply to be in these local councils because they probably were on the debate team in school, or maybe they did have some bright-eyed, bushy-eyed, feelings about let's change things, let's help locally, and community-based and lots of stuff. And then they start trickling on through to the next phase. Oh, yeah, become a more of an MP, you know what I mean? And it's, oh, I'm going to go for the Senate, and you know what I mean? And by the time they're in that part, they're entrenched and the system has them. You know what I mean? There's no coming back. They're gone. They've sold them, sold their souls out. So they just can't be trusted, these people. You know what I mean? I just don't think that system, unless the entire system changes, it will never change. It will
What's
never
your
be for our benefit.
take then on the libertarian movement? I think people have woken up and gotten wise to the idea that it's a uniparty. For most of the time, our right wing and our left wing politicians actually see eye to eye on a lot of things. The right wing might instill a policy like digital ID or misinformation, disinformation bill. They create the thought idea of it, but the left will run with it and push it into place. A lot of people now seem to think that the libertarian movement that's kind of sprung up in Australia because of what's happening in America, we tend to know that America exports its culture. They think that the libertarians are going to be the answer. What's your thoughts on that?
No, not a chance. No, when you've got the so what's happening is you're getting it all comes down to like on elections, right? So whenever there's an election, doesn't matter who's on the ticket and stuff. It's all in Australia. It's obviously it all comes down to the preference voting. That's what fucks it up for everyone, right? So if there's not enough people to get those preferences for that seat on that thing, it just goes down to the ones beneath it. Those numbers then go towards them. Like you got to remember, fucking Anthony Albanese, who's our prime minister now, is he got on like he became prime minister of Australia on like what 32% of the votes or something of the
Probably
actual
33, I'd
preferences.
say.
And I think it was actually under 33, but I think it was maybe 31 or 30. It was fuck all, like not enough, nowhere near enough. But it was because they had all the green votes and things come into them as well, which gave them their majority government stuff, like. And the Liberals are just, they've got no leadership. They've got a terrible leadership problem in the Liberal Party and things as well. So, what I would like to see is people who are genuinely part of these libertarian movements and all this sort of stuff to sneak in and start circumventing everything and basically almost like guerrilla warfare. Get
Oh, you
in
mean like
and take it
infiltrates the
over,
cabinet?
correct, and take it over from within. Just like what Klaus Schwab is doing with his WEF movement, you know what I mean? That's what they've got to do. Start getting in saying, yeah, we're all for the liberals, nationals, whatever, whatever. But once that you've got enough of your people in there to start to try and take it over from within and form that leadership group, the strong members in there, the people that are in there that are going to pull the votes, that have the right charisma to, you know, to start actually swaying public opinion and things, all under the banner of liberal national or something, but secretly they're actually probably more libertarian minded and stuff.
It's a pretty
That's
tight club, though, Lee.
what would
What
need to happen, but it won't
makes you think
happen.
that they would be able to get anywhere? Because that's like if the Rennicks and the Roberts and the Hansons are all, you know, I mean, I have my doubts about all of them, but if they are genuine, I just don't believe that they will ever be able to actually get anywhere. Because I see these guys, you know, they're in Parliament, into these empty parliaments mostly, standing up and, you know, raising all the questions that we want to hear and everything. But you know, what the hell is happening? Like I've seen it for a while now, and there's always this, oh yes, we'll take that on notice. Oh yeah, we'll take that on notice. And it's like,
Yes, it's
oh
the boys'
well.
club sort of thing situation. But that's the issue there. They've got a big problem of, it's hard to, it's almost like grassroots kind of community people that are actually focused on the right things, that donate the time and all sorts of stuff. These people who, and I think even One Nation's got a big problem with this. There's the four or three or four of them that actually have pull and power in the party. And anyone else who donates their time and effort and money to help them out, they get pushed aside.
Yeah,
They've
exactly.
got a problem with, they don't foster development. That's their
Exactly.
problem. There's no developing, fostering the development of these future people and more numbers to come in. It's I'm in charge and what I say
Yeah.
goes. You know what I
Well,
mean?
it's also
That's their
it's
problem.
money.
It's ego as well. Ego is a big part of this thing.
Are the minor parties in themselves just honeypots to pull votes
It
away to
is. And
make it
that's what's
look like
happening.
anything else? Yeah.
UAP and all this sort of stuff, they're dragging votes away. And unfortunately, the two-party system is not going anywhere. Maybe there might be a three, but the three, unfortunately, will probably be Greens, which we don't want. It's basically communist in disguise, same with Labour as well.
Watermelons.
Sorry? Watermelons,
Watermelons.
yeah.
Green on the outside, red on the inside.
Yeah, exactly. Funnily enough, though, the actual colours of communists were actually green, by the way, too. But that's the problem, is, you know, that they've got this major leadership crisis in these parties, and no one's there big enough, strong enough, popular enough, with enough charisma to actually start leading these parties in the way, in the opposite direction. You know what I mean? Yes, there's always the two sides of the same coin, all that sort of stuff. But without actually, there's some actual checks and balances, you know, to actually have someone who's more community minded, thinking about who they are as a representative of the people, and not, you know, listening to what people actually want and saying, this may not be what I want, but my constituents don't want this, so it's my duty to then say we're against it, you know what I mean? Or whatever it might be, that no one's got the balls to do that anymore because of ego. You're right, Stella, money is a big thing as well, you know what I mean? Once they're in and they're entrenched, they love the life. These people who are our representatives and MPs and senators and stuff, they love the life that they've got. They've got money rolling in, they've got, you know, income security and superannuation for all this sort of stuff. It's all here, have all the benefits, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm glad they've changed the law now where they get paid forever after they leave. That's now changed, but
Oh,
a
has
lot of
it?
the ones that are in, yeah, it has,
Oh.
at least in Queensland anyway. I don't know if it's a statewide or a federal thing, to be honest, actually, but I know it definitely has changed in Queensland. But anyone who was already in is getting that now. Any new ones coming in who get in there don't get it for life. They get it for, like, I don't know, 4 years or
Oh,
something,
well,
or
look, listen,
whatever. Like,
and what
it's
do you think that
limited.
does? That doesn't give much incentive, does it, either, for new people to sort of
That,
come
well, that's
through
the other
as
thing
another thing,
too.
yeah.
Yeah. But again,
Multifaceted.
their incentive shouldn't be money, Stella. That's the thing.
And
Their
look, it
incentive
is.
should be, I want to change the world, you know, I want to
Well,
change
it's
things for
and
the
unicorns should fart rainbows too. It's
better.
funny, Stella, you mentioned Pauline Hanson and One Nation. It seems like she's not so much a One Nation person. She doesn't put Australia first because she was in Parliament today with the Israeli flag draped around her neck.
Yeah, I saw that
Yeah.
picture.
Yeah, I thought it was a fake actually, and then somebody showed
Oh,
another
look.
one, and so I haven't looked into
Not
it.
to
But
mention,
what you
she's a
don't
humble
know.
fish and ship owner who's now a multi-millionaire.
Yeah.
But let me throw this out there. How do you know one of her aides or someone just didn't come and throw it on her as a joke, and then bang, snap,
Exactly.
gone.
Yeah.
Like, oh, she supports Israel. Let's get her. You know, like, who knows? Like, we just don't know what the
I
circumstances
think
are and that
since
sort of
we've
stuff. All we
realized.
know is we've got that image of her with it. We don't know the circumstances around it. That's all I can say.
I think since we've sort of realized how powerful AI is, I know I take
Can't trust
it
anything.
mostly anything with a grain of salt now, because it really, most things kind of look fake to me. So
well,
it's
mate,
like,
Stella, I'm convinced you're AI.
Yeah, well, you know, I shouldn't talk. But, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You can't trust
anything.
I can
anything. Pinch myself. I know I'm real. And if I don't know who I am, I'll just ask the government.
Yeah, they'll tell you your ID.
Just double check your digital ID still, yeah.
Who am I again?
Yeah, it's fucked. It is. There's a really good podcast that you should have a listen to as well. Stephen Tripp, and I can't remember the other guy's name. They do a show. They do two podcasts.
It's a double
actually.
P, I think, from memory.
It is, yeah. The Ex-Candidates is, I think, his show. Really good, actually. Actually, and my mate Adam from the Kras Files podcast, he has him on every now and again to chat. But it was a really good show they did. They actually talked about the digital ID, missed this sort of stuff, and the crisis it is that the parties are going through right now and stuff. And it was really good. And from someone who's, you know, he was actually a One Nation volunteer for a number of years back in the day, and he left because they just turf you out, basically. So he knows a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes. It's really clever, intelligent guy too. Yeah. Yeah, The Ex-Candidates is his podcast. But yeah, check him out. He lives in Sydney too, so he's not too far away from Adam, actually. They've got a big something, a DYRSL coming up or something too, where they're going to have a big meeting and talking to the public about stuff. So anyway,
yeah, I like that. I like Adam Kras.
Yeah, he's a good bloke. I've known him for a long time. So
yeah, right.
Yeah, back in the day of the Conspiracy Oz podcast with Mick Raven, back in the day.
Right, I did. I had never discovered podcasts until 2020.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I remember you telling me that. Yeah, yeah, that's good. All right, that was all I had to cover for the thing and the where we are in terms of the digital ID and all that sort of stuff, mate. But one thing I wanted to poke your brains about for the two of you, then get your comments on, was AstraZeneca being pulled globally now. Yeah, is that your thought? Scapegoat, yeah.
Scapegoat, 100%.
Is that why so Moderna and Pfizer slide under the radar? Is that
this has been the thing, that AstraZeneca was one of the major vaccine options that early on in its rollout had reactions that the media were open about. There's been blood clots. In Australia, it was, I don't want anyone under the age of 30 taking this vaccine. Soon, it was kind of pulled from the market in Australia.
Yeah, tell us.
I was someone who, because of my job and to keep a roof over my family, I had to take the vaccines, didn't want to. I chose what I thought was the lesser of the three evils, which was AstraZeneca. For my second shot, I was told I would have to take an mRNA, and I was actively blocked from taking AstraZeneca again until I forced the hand of it and got an exemption to take it. That I found a bit odd, that they were kind of funneling people into mRNA. Outside of that, you find out that Moderna and Pfizer have been talking with each other behind the scenes, because they're in this initial rollout now of turning all traditional vaccines into mRNA technology. AstraZeneca is RNA, not mRNA. It's considered old tech.
Correct. That's, I was going to bring that up. That's the difference.
If you have the old technology, which is a competitor, you make that look like it's caused the damage, because people are noticing the things that are going on. There's anecdotal evidence of family members, people who've passed, people who know they've been harmed by it, but the medical establishment aren't supporting their views anymore or believing them. If you put all the focus on AstraZeneca, in the media, they will pump that as that's the bad vaccine. That was the dangerous one that wasn't checked.
It was
gives a green light to mRNA, gives a green light to Pfizer and Moderna, gives them a green light to change all the vaccines to mRNA.
Yeah.
Most
because
people
it has a proven track record.
That's right. Majority of people in this country will not realize that if you're getting a flu shot, 80% of those mRNA now.
Mm.
And they're not even being told about it. They think it's a traditional DNA-based vaccine. They're getting mRNA and they don't know.
Yep.
Yeah, wow.
Yep. That was my understanding. Bait and switch is what it was.
Big time.
Yeah, I think the AstraZeneca that was discontinued, I believe that was sort of like the first one, but they've still got other ones.
Johnson & Johnson got pulled as well, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. But they've still got, like, it's, you know, just the first version of the AstraZeneca. I believe that was the case. So it's not like AstraZeneca is going to disappear.
No,
but I think it's probably going to be AstraZeneca brought to you by Pfizer. You know, I mean, yes. It all comes together at the top anyway.
I love how the ABC insiders came out and saying that, you know, the cookers are going nuts about this, saying it's the dangers of the vaccine when AstraZeneca actually pulled it from the market because no one's buying it anymore. Well, there's vaccine hesitancy at best across the world now. People don't want to go roll up their sleeves to the annual flu shot anymore. Of course, it's going to drop off. That doesn't really suggest that they pull it from market just because no one's buying it. Clearly, it's that bait and switch we've just spoken about where they're pulling a big one from the market so it redirects everyone to the competitors, air quotes, when really it's all bought and sold by the same nefarious groups anyway.
100%. And, you know, on one hand, like I thought it's almost 50-50 split. Some people are saying, oh, it's because it was because of all the side effects. And the other people are saying, oh, no, it's because it was not economically viable anymore. So it's like, well, which is it? Which one is it? So this is always the case, isn't it? It's just so hard to pinpoint something, you know, to actually put your thumb on something and go, there it is. It's just this whole world of blurry, you know, it's like blowing glitter and trying to catch it. It's just the truth is out there somewhere. It's just so hard to get, which is the whole point. I mean, that's the whole point, isn't it? That's the bloody hybrid warfare.
I found it ironic, somewhat on a tangent. I heard on the radio this morning that Ozempic has hit a study that it actually reduces heart attacks by something like 3 to 5% in people who take it for their lives, and it's a good thing. Well, what's the issue for the rise in heart disease all of a sudden? Like, it was steadily increasing because of our Western diets. Yes, I'll agree on that fact. But there was a huge, huge increase because of COVID. Or the lockdowns, rather. Not so much the disease itself, but the fact that people were locked up and were not moving for 3 years and had certain things injected into their bodies, which definitely can't be the cause of any of that. Not at all.
So who makes Ozempic? I'm just looking it up. Is that our friends? Our Pfizer friends? Or?
It'd probably be someone who walks hand in hand with them, I would suggest.
Oh, yeah. It's like they're like the Black Rock of medicine.
I was going to say it's the 3 degrees of Black Rock.
Who probably own Pfizer anyway. Yeah.
Well, did this surprise anyone that it was AstraZeneca would come out like this when Australia had done it more than 12 months ago? Did anyone think that it would be a global thing at this point?
The withdrawal?
Yeah. Did anyone think that that would actually occur, or was the idea that they just get away with it and keep moving on?
Well, I'm yet to have that conversation with someone who I know who's had at least the AZ one. But I'd like to ask them, which one did you get again? Oh, did you get AstraZeneca? Yeah. You know, it's been pulled globally. What? I want that reaction, you know?
I think the fact that it is so public and global probably says a lot.
No one knows.
If they didn't want you to know, that would be pulled quietly, wouldn't it?
I would argue that most of the media, like, I don't think they're talking about this on the 6 o'clock news. I think this is just going by in articles we see circulated social media because we're tapped into this sort of stuff and it's in our groups.
Well, they're talking about it on Sunrise and
Sky News and stuff.
Yeah, they're talking about it on pretty mainstream platforms, which makes me think it's that bait and switch. It's over here while mRNA is going everywhere else.
I do tend to protect myself from watching those programs. So I try not to.
Yeah. I have to know the psyche of the enemy, otherwise I'm not
sure. Know thy enemy.
I just read the online stuff, unfortunately, and the little TikToks and things. Not that I'm on TikTok, but what I also like to check with people is, because I remember reading a lot of the info actually came out about the AstraZeneca when it was released, about the ingredients, what was in it, how it was made, all that sort of stuff. And I was back then, and a couple of years ago, asking people about when they were talking about the jabs and stuff. It was on everyone's lips, you know. Everyone was talking about the jabs, and I used to ask the question: Do you like GMOs? Do you like GMO food? Do you like GMOs? Do you think GMOs are good? And a lot of people are obviously, because of Monsanto and all that sort of stuff, they cottoned on and were like, yeah, GMOs are bad. We're going to have, you know, all this sort of stuff. And so we're like, no, I don't prefer GMOs. No, I don't think that's a good idea. I don't really like GMOs. Did you know that your AstraZeneca vaccines actually contains genetically modified ingredients? You're like, oh, does it? Yeah, it does actually. It contains chimpanzee DNA as well. Did you know that? Oh, no, I didn't know that. No, you're injecting fucking foreign matter into your bloodstreams, morons. Like, fucking wake up. Anyway, but I used to ask those. I asked those questions of a few normies watching the reactions. Yeah.
Wasn't there cells from an aborted fetus or something at some
That's in
point?
all
That's
vaccines.
in, yeah, male and female
All
in
of them.
various vaccines. Yeah.
Don't forget
Yeah.
to remind them about that one.
Yeah. Well, the whole idea of genetically modified organisms are even in within the DNA-based vaccines themselves. They're all using animal basis to replicate. So you're getting animal DNA at the best of
Yeah.
times with traditional things.
Monkey kidneys and all
Turning us
sorts
into
of shit.
bloody chimeras without us knowing. So Ozempic was made by a Danish drug maker, Novo Nordisk, just out of interest because I just followed that up.
Yeah.
So
Which
there you
is
go.
a subsidiary of Pfizer.
Yeah, exactly.
Fucking
Brought to you by
Pfizer.
Pfizer.
Yeah.
They all. Yeah. So yes, they're talking about the budget at the moment. That is the big thing. And I was going to say before, the reason that people are taking notice of that, I suppose, is because that's how they get people's attention. It's to do with the hip pocket. You know, everybody wants to
Yeah,
know where their
I
dollars are
got
going. So,
300 bucks to pay me power bill that's gone up 6 times.
yeah,
That's
right.
totally going to cover it.
Yeah, I saw this interesting video the day where a guy was like, yeah, they'll tell you, oh, we're going to lower taxes by this amount, like 6% on this particular thing. But what they're not telling you is that they already jacked it up, a certain amount, or they're going to jack it up again. Like, there's so many different things. Yeah, they're going to say, this is good, we're giving you this, but we're going to screw you over here, and then
Yeah.
that's going to attribute it anyway, and you're probably going to make less in the long run, but you're going to look like you're going to have some more money in your pocket and stuff. And
Yep. It's
I
just
think it's,
aversion and word
and we are,
salad.
like, we are literally in a cost of living crisis, and the simplest way to boil that down is energy. It's if you lower the energy prices, get the fuel back down, like, and they keep blaming, oh, it's because of the Ukraine war, and fuck, no, it's not. Like, we drill oil, we buy most of our oil from the Asians anyway. It's we don't get it from over there. Like, that's not Europe buys that oil. We don't get that oil. All of our oil from here comes from Southeast Asia. That's where it's all processed in, like, Singapore and stuff. I mean, so lowering energy prices is the big thing. Stop closing power plants. You know what I mean? Like, keep the coal-fired power plants open, or make them cleaner. Whatever you got to fucking do, build some fucking thorium ones that aren't gonna, radiate everyone, and have nuclear power with, not, those that fusionable material that's not gonna create waste. Like, it's been done. They're doing it in places like India and stuff now, where they're not, they're building these massive nuclear power plants that don't have nuclear waste, basically. Like, it's almost like clean nuclear. Like, we don't have any of that sort of stuff, and one of those can power the entire fucking state. Like, it's so much energy, and yet they're mowing down forest areas to put wind farms in that are useless, that you rely on diesel generators to fucking spin them. Like, it's so backwards. They're building giant batteries, right? One of my clients, he's in charge of that project up at Stanwell in Queensland somewhere. And just the government is just throwing money at it. Like, he's like, she was telling me, it's just ridiculous. Like, they just throw money at this because they're like, yeah, it's green. Throw money at it. That's the thing. Yeah, money for everything. Yet it'll store less energy and all this sort of, like, doesn't have the capability to actually power jack shit, when one coal-fired power plant will have like 20 times the amount of output it could have. You know what I mean? Like, and there's no, like, the redundancies aren't there and all that sort of stuff. It's so bad. So, just cheapening energy, right? And the trickle-down effect from that, because that's what it stems from. Everything went up because the price of energy went through the roof. So, transport prices went up, which means grocery prices went up, which means energy, everything went up after this. It all stems from energy. If we have cheap, affordable energy, the cost of living naturally comes down. And it was low. Back when we had cheap energy, the cost of living was so cheap. Remember we were paying under a dollar for fuel? You remember that? Do you remember those days? I still remember
Yeah,
those days.
I do.
When it went over 3 figures, you're like, oh my God, it's a crisis.
Or
You
my
know,
parents did anyway.
used to fill up. Yeah, you remember filling
Any
up
quid?
for 90 odd cents a liter and stuff? You know what I mean? Like, it's doubled now, and everyone's feeling it. You know what I mean? This whole cost of living can
I
be solved.
particularly love the double speak that they do when it's about the green agenda, but we know the processes for mining these materials and then building them put out far more carbon emissions than what a coal-fired station does.
They can never catch up for all of the offset of carbon that they think they're going to do. It will never catch up. The lifespan of those things cannot live go for it for long enough. They cannot turn a wind turbine long enough to generate the same amount of energy that we'll use to offset went into building it. It will spin until it's broken apart and it'll still never get enough.
That's the big selling point. The big selling point for it was, one, it's clean, and two, the green investment in Australia will promote and create jobs. Well, Australia's largest company who creates the blades for these giant wind turbines, which is predominantly balsa wood with some carbon fiber over the top of it, they were approached by the government to say, we need bigger turbines. We need to create and generate more power. This company turned around, engineered it, and said, at those scales, they're going to be prone to catastrophic failure. So what did the government do? Outsource the job to another company overseas. So not only were they reducing the investment in their own country, they were outsourcing it to a nation that doesn't have the checks and balances for green and sustainable mining, and they just did it anyway.
Mm. Yep, that's right.
All for no reason at all. And the ironic thing too is that in China, they're actually building coal-fired power stations at the rate of knots, which is ironic because then we're getting
one a month or something.
Which are attached to megacities the size of Melbourne, which they're just randomly building out in the desert.
Oh, the hypocrisy is hilarious. Just recently, now Elon Musk's Tesla's, company was supposedly going, well, it's been outdone by China, basically. So as far as the sales of EVs go, I think China was 3 million a year or something like that. But then we've probably seen the footage of all those brand new cars with, 1.6 kilometres or something on the clock, still wrapped in plastic on the interior, like acres and acres of them, because that's what they're doing.
I'm uploading the video right about now making to cars. Our chat.
Right.
I've got it on my desktop ready to go.
It's insanity. I mean, the hypocrisy of this stuff is it. And these wind turbines, et cetera, I mean, the ones they're putting out in the ocean and that, they're creating whale beachings, all sorts of stuff.
It's horrible.
It's so anti-environment. And this is just a money laundering thing. All these subsidies are just people scraping the cream off the top. Investments going out to these companies that couldn't give a shit about Australia. And I just can't believe even my relatively short life, thank you very much. I've seen a huge amount of change. Like, we have. We've seen a huge amount of change. I can only imagine how my mother feels and how my grandmother, thank God she's not alive right now. But, it was such a great country. It was so good, and it's just been so fucked.
And one of the, you got to remember, Australia is like the second highest producer of natural gas in the world. Second to Qatar, I think.
I think we beat them. We're the biggest exporter.
It must be very close, but it's miles ahead of anyone else, like ridiculously far ahead of anyone else. But what do we tax it? It's like some pismal amount that we put on it as an export tax and stuff. Whereas the other country, like Qatar or whatever it is, they've got a really good high tax rate on it, and they're making billions. We might make something like 200 million a year or something, whereas they're making 200 billion a year off of it. Like, that would solve so much of our problems if they just put a tariff on it. It doesn't even have to be that high. Like, maybe incrementalize it or something, you know what I mean? But just start, there's a revenue stream there that we're just letting go because of bureaucracy. You know what
which
I mean?
Brings,
it's ridiculous. We can have all that gas here and power everything off natural gas.
Like, all our industries were shut down. We had so many great industries and they've all just been dissolved.
Because energy is so expensive. 70s. It's too expensive to build and to do those big sort of plants and stuff. They're like, it's just cheaper
bullshit,
to make it overseas.
Yeah.
Well, it's cheap labor is what it is as well, too, mate.
Yeah.
Don't forget.
Yeah.
And you've got to pay someone here, 60 grand a year to build a car in a factory, whereas you can pay someone $6,000 a year to do it,
This brings us back to the budget then. Like, the budget that's presented by our current left-leaning Labor government, they present to us that we're, what is it, $9-odd billion in surplus, whereas all the major economists in the country are saying that can't possibly be correct. And they're trying to put it back to we had a great iron ore export system in the past 12 months. But everyone out west will tell you the iron ore industry is dying. It's nowhere near what it used to be and can't possibly be making that kind of dividends for the country.
So where else are they cutting to get this apparent surplus? That's what I'd like to know.
It's just not lies, income. Damn it's lies, not, and statistics, though.
Well, exactly. And everyone
tell us anything.
It's funny, there's a misconception with that too, Drew, is that everyone thinks, oh, there's a budget surplus. I mean, they think, Oh, we don't have any debt. No, that's not what that means. It's like,
This means we're a little bit less shit than we thought.
no,
Well, there's a little legal loophole that they use in this. So they count the infrastructure that they're currently building, its end cost of what it would be worth to the state as a part of that.
you.
So let's say they've invested, I don't know, $2 billion to making a fast speed rail around the country that they've always been talking about. They invest a measly $2 billion. They say at the end of its life, it's going to be worth annually $60 billion. They add that projected $60 billion to the budget, pretending like it's money we've got when it's all imaginary.
Oh, it's a bit like the banking system, isn't
It's
it?
exactly like the banking system.
You want to know how crazy it gets with that, right? If you go out to your footpath and you see a tree, right? So because the footpath is council property, it's government property basically. That tree is classed as a government asset, right?
A government issue tree.
they have a someone that goes, well, that tree is worth X amount of dollars. Right? And that goes in to say, well, that's an asset. So they put that in their asset group and go, we've got all these assets. Look at all these assets we've got. They'll just call them green assets or some shit like that. Well, it's just a fucking tree on a footpath. You know what I mean? Like, that's not really an asset. Come on. Like, it's just fudging the numbers, man. Because, and I know because I got fined for cutting one.
It's not like it's even a fruit tree that actually produces emissions.
Produce
It's
anything? No,
something.
it's a fucking tree that damages cars that are parked underneath it. Yeah. Oh man, I'm gonna have to bail shortly. I don't know if you guys
Yeah,
want
no
to start
problem.
wrapping it up, but
Well, I think when we end on the budget, that's as boring as Australian information could ever
yes,
get
sorry
anyway.
everyone.
That's okay.
Sorry, we're sending you to sleep, are we?
That's all right. Thanks for coming on, guys. I think this was definitely worth the chat. Things do happen in Australia that I think the rest of the world should pay attention to. I think the Americans that would listen to our type of content, they've got a little bit of wiggle room and some breathing room because of their constitution and their illusions of freedoms. Whereas, the proof is in the pudding of what can happen in Western democracies when this type of garbage just gets pushed through. And the most horrifying thing is that it's predetermined, and the dates that you gave earlier in this episode that they were telling us the exact dates of when this would come into fruition. And it's on the internet for everyone to see. That stuff doesn't go away. It's predetermined. It's going to happen. If they say they're going to do it, it's going to bloody well happen.
They might change the goalposts a little bit and push them further back, but the goalposts are still there.
Yeah, that's the choice between Labor and Liberal. Liberals might make it take another 10 or 15 years, where Labor is going to make it happen tomorrow. It's a real difference in this country.
Yeah. You know what I learned? It's just sidebar here, but I didn't realize this, but I learned this the other day. Did you know that within, talking about the American Constitution, just maybe remember this, nothing to do with what we're talking about, but I just thought you might find this interesting. Did you know that 100 miles from within a border, the border of the US is classed as a constitutional free zone? So the entire state of Maine isn't under the American Constitution. Did you know that? Because it's right on the edge there on the ocean. But 100 from 100 from the border of the outside of their country, 100 miles in, that zone is classed as a unconstitutional zone. No, the Constitution does not exist in that zone apparently, and that's in their law. And people don't even aren't even aware of this. Not even Americans even know this shit. But you can look that shit up. It's crazy.
There's something along those lines with new parts of New England, isn't there? That it's considered the free state in regards to a lot of other. They don't have the certain taxes like the rest of the country does, but the taxes they do have are ridiculously high to cover that.
Yeah, there's some funny shit going on over there. Yeah,
Yeah.
they're not they technically they call it what is it they call them? They literally call them the Commonwealth or no, what is it?
I think it's free state, isn't it? Free state of New
No.
Hampshire is one, I think.
Yeah, New Hampshire's
Yeah.
another one. Yeah, they've got these, and I think that's probably why they're passing laws like the anti-chemtrail law and stuff like this. It's happening in those sort of states, you know?
Yeah, because
Because
chemtrails stop at the borders.
Yeah, they
they got to
just stop
turn the jets
spraying
off as
there.
they fly over, yeah, and then turn them back on over
It
again because
flies
the
over one
wind.
state, line, stops,
Yeah.
line.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to have to
Yeah,
sue the wind.
that's right. Yeah. Get on a
It
Jim
blew
Lee.
into your state. We had no control over that.
Yeah, crazy though, hey? Yeah, it's funny to
Yeah,
look up now.
absolutely. Guys, let's go around the horn and let the listeners know where they can find our content.
All right. Well, I'm generally just on WTF Forum, which is a podcast that I do with some American friends and sometimes Drew, and once with the general. That's on a Sunday night at 7 p.m. EST. That's America time. But more importantly, Australia time, Monday morning at 9 o'clock, I believe it is at the moment, until they screw around with the time again. And I've also just started another podcast, which is called Weather or Not, with a friend who's we just sort of do meteorological forensics into certain weather events. So there'll be a few more episodes of that coming up. That's about it for me.
Ooh, looking forward
Sounds
to that.
interesting. Yes. I'm over at the main area you can find me is over at realnewsaustralia.com. There's links to the podcast from there, but I do the general knowledge podcast pretty regularly, probably every fortnight, if not more, depending on who I can get on and stuff. But yeah, otherwise realnewsaustralia.podbean.com is the main podcast there. But just head over to realnewsaustralia.com and you'll find the links to find me on all those places.
No, if you're listening to me on Lee's podcast, General Knowledge Podcast, I am Drew Misson from Your Missing the Point podcast, and Conspiracy Theatre 3000. So my regular little show where I talk about pretty much everything, these type of conversations, religion, politics, conspiracy, all the fun stuff, twice a week, and Conspiracy Theatre 3000 once a month with movie reviews.
I like that one. It's fun, that one.
Thank you.
Yes, you are very multifaceted.
I am. That's the autism. It's just
I
wide
gotta say,
net.
Drew, you inspire me to do one. I did one with Stella on my show. We did
They
a
live.
we did a they yeah we did They Live with I did that
Nice.
with Stella and Andy
Solid
was on for a
movie.
bit too. Yeah, so
I
we
finally
talked
watched a
about
movie.
that
And you
one.
watched the most telling one. Congratulations.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So yeah, I look forward to doing some more. I'm just trying to find the time, but anyway.
That's it. Well, thanks for coming on, guys. This was a great chat, and we will catch you all next time.
Hey, everybody, it's closing time. You don't gotta go home, but you can't stay here.